And I realize I stand in a precarious position today, not just that I'm in the pulpit, but I stand between you and a wonderful lunch. Praise God. Luke chapter 17, verse 12. You got it in your Bibles. It'll be on the screen in pretty small letters. It says, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. We talked about leprosy last week. Here we have 10 lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go and show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Everybody say, they were cleansed. They were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, there were 10 lepers. They were all cleansed. But one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9 that were cleansed? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said to them, arise, go thy way. Said to him, this one man, arise and go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. This is a wonderful story of these 10 lepers who were sick. And leprosy in those days was a fatal disease. It literally terrified people of the ancient times. There was only one way to treat it, and that was to remove them from the camp, to take them as far away from everybody else as they possibly could, to take them somewhere sterile so nobody else could catch it. The Bible says that they were lepers, and when Jesus came past, they lifted up their voices. Now, let me tell you, there has to come a time in your life when you get desperate enough to cry out to God. And they lifted up their voice and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And he said, go show yourself to the priest. And they went and showed themselves to the priest and they were cleansed. There were 10 that were cleansed, but only one stopped to go back and give thanks to Jesus for the healing that he had. Only one. And the Bible says that this man was a Samaritan. It also calls him a stranger. All 10 lepers received a miraculous healing, but only one, everybody say one, but only one returns to thank Jesus Christ. And the Bible makes a special point to tell us a little bit about this one. He was a Samaritan and he was a stranger. 9 of them were Jews. They knew more, but they did less. It should have been those Jewish lepers that praised Jesus. It was unexpected that a Samaritan, a stranger, not classified as one of God's people, not an Israelite, not a Jew. It was a Samaritan. And you see, these Jews, they knew more, but they did less. And Jesus said, where are the 9? And I want to preach today a simple message, pouring out our praise. Can we all say that together? Pouring out our praise. You see, the Jews had been abundantly blessed. Israel was chosen from all the nations of the world so they could come and worship the one true God. They were privileged to be different than other people in their lifestyle. They were distinguished by peculiar laws and statutes and observances and diet and conversation. And God gave them a tabernacle where they could offer sacrifices and celebrate feasts and festivals, where God, his own Shekinah glory, would dwell among them. The Jews were a privileged people. The Bible tells us also that God led them through the wilderness and into the promised land. He casting all of their enemies before them. He destroyed their enemies and miraculously provided them for them, manna from heaven. You see, these Jews, out of the 10, 9 were Jews and One was a Samaritan. The Jews should have known better. They knew more, but they did less. You see, even a Jew with leprosy was blessed beyond measure. And a Jew healed of leprosy should have been a fanatical worshiper. And let me just get right down to the bottom line right now. Is that a lot of us have been walking with God a long time. And God has been good to us. We have been cleansed. But sometimes we know a lot and we do a little. And this morning I want to ask the question, where are the nine? Why is it that the new born again believer is the one that can celebrate and worship God uninhibited? But those of us who have been around a long time serving God, sometimes we are the ones that, you know, we don't want to really, don't want to mess up our hairstyle or something like that. I don't know what it is, but sometimes we do less. We don't worship God like we should. So where are the nine? If you've been born again, the Bible says that all things are passed away and everything has become new. If you've been born again, it's by amazing grace. Once I was lost, but now I am found. I got to praise God for that. I got to pour out my praise because I was lost, but now I am found. You know, I've had some tests. I've had some troubles. I've had some trials, but now God has brought me through that. And now I just don't have a test, but now I've got a testimony. My life was a mess, but now I've got a message. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Amen. God has brought each of us out of sin. He's given us an abundant life and the power to conquer the enemy. We've got a lot to praise God for, brothers and sisters. We've got a lot to praise God for. We've got a lot to thank God for. We've got a lot to worship Him for. Hallelujah. And if anybody's going to praise God today, it should be us. Where are the nine? We're not Samaritans, we're Jews, children of God, adopted, grafted in. Why is it that people that know God less for some reason praise Him more? That shouldn't happen. That offends Jesus. He noticed that it wasn't the Jews that came to praise, but it was a Samaritan and it was a stranger. You see, I could never praise Him enough. And I want to tell you today that you could never praise Him enough. We started out at the beginning of the service talking about how God is great and greatly to be praised. He is so great. And we've got to praise Him, or at least endeavor to match our praise to His greatness. That's why the Bible says, praise Him according to His excellent greatness. There are 206 bones in my skeleton supporting me, but really it is God holding me up in His everlasting arms. For this I give Him praise. There are 600 muscles in my body allowing me to move, but really it is Him. It is in Him that I move and have my being. For this I give Him praise. There are 2 million optic nerves in my eyes that let me see, but it's really God that has removed my spiritual blindness for me able to see spiritually, and for this I give Him praise. I have a heart the size of my fist that pumps 10,000 liters of blood every day. There are 90,000 kilometers of blood vessels in my body, but really it is the precious blood of Jesus that gives me life. And for this, I give Him praise. I have a brain weighing 1.5 kilograms and 100 billion neurons in my central nervous system, feeding me thousands of pieces of information every second. But really, I only need to know that my Redeemer lives, and I sense that He's here with me and He's in this place right now. And for this, we need to pour out our praise. Somebody say amen this morning. Unlike 8.4 million creatures on this planet, human beings have been given the ability to speak. Everybody say speak. To speak the praises of God. And this morning, the simple question is, where are the nine? We have got so much to praise God for. Luke chapter 19, verse 39 says, "And some Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." I want to tell you that the Bible is filled with praise. As Christians today, praise should be on our lips. We got to praise God. We've got something to praise God for. You got to have that attitude of gratitude that flows, that is an outflow of your praise. And you think of what God has done for you. And you say, when I think about the Lord and what he's done for me, it makes me want to shout. It makes me want to praise him. You see, we've got something to praise God for. Amen. We don't apologize around here for being exuberant. It should be exuberant around here. You know, my dad always used to say, if people can go to a football game and they can shout and they can scream and they can jump up and down and just a bunch of men chasing a leather sack of wind, and everybody gets so excited about that. When we come into the house of God, when we worship the living God, we can do a little bit more than just shout. We can do a little bit more than sing. But we clap our hands, we shout unto God, we dance. We ought to be exuberant. So we don't apologize for being exuberant about worship. We got many cultures here, and we like to praise God. We like to worship God. I don't apologize for that. I only apologize that there aren't more churches that this way. Because God is great and greatly to be praised. Psalm 134 verse 2 says, "Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord." Psalm 149 verse 6 says, "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Psalm 118, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Psalm 84 verse 10 says this, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." The Bible is full of praise. And I've come to challenge you today. We've got to break out of our little boxes, our little restraints, and start to praise God like he's God. We got to start to praise God like he is great. And just in case you haven't got it yet, the Bible says in Psalm 150 and verse 6, it says, "Let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord." Let everything that has breath. If you've got breath in your body, you ought to praise God. Everybody point yourself and say, I ought to praise God. I ought to praise God. "For every mountain you brought me over, for every trial that you've brought me through, for every blessing, hallelujah, for this I give you praise." All 10 lepers, in Luke chapter 17, the Bible says all 10 of them were cleansed. But if you read it carefully, you'll see only one was made whole. Only one was made whole. And that was the one that returned to give thanks and praise to Jesus. And you see, many people here today have been cleansed from sin. But many of those same people live a miserable life and they're still miserable. Why? Because they don't realize what praise does for a child of God. When you go back and you thank God, when you praise him, you will see what praise does. As you enter into the presence of God, as you come and you praise him, time after time after time, we are made whole because we were created to praise him. If you're not praising him, you're not doing everything that you were created to do. You are not whole unless you are praising God. And that's why there were 10 that were cleansed, but there was only one that was made whole. You see, when God created a tree, listen carefully. When God created a tree, you read it, he spoke to the earth. He said, "Let the earth bring forth trees." That's why a tree cannot exist
without the soil. Listen, when God created a tree, he spoke to the soil. When God created a plant, he spoke to the dirt, because a tree cannot exist apart from the soil. Listen carefully. When God created a fish, he spoke to the sea. That's why a fish cannot exist without the water. And when God created man, he spoke to himself. He said, "Let us make man in our image." And that's why man cannot exist apart from the presence of God. We cannot exist without the presence of God. We've got to praise him. We were created to praise God. And maybe you're here today and you owe God some praise for what he's done for you. You ought to open up your mouth and just begin to praise him and thank him for everything that he's done. If anybody is going to give him praise today, it should be us. It should be us. If the young people could get ready to come and sing the last choir item, if they could come, our young people, you'll see why I preach this message and why I ask them to sing this song. Why is it that people that know God less praise him more? That shouldn't happen. We who know God ought to praise him. The song that the young people are going to sing right now, a wonderful song they sang last Sunday night. You give life, listen to the words. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Then the chorus says, and we're going to sing it together. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out a praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath. It's your breath, God, in my lungs. I don't own this breath. You gave it to me. You could stop it like this. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise to you only. Then the second verse says, all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry and these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. I've come to challenge you today. It's not your breath that's in your lungs. You really, God created you. He put breath in your lungs. And he could take that breath away in just a moment. So if you've got breath, as the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. Bless us with a song, young people. Praise God.